Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 286. We're blasting through the year already, it feels like. Joining me this week, as he always does, it's John.
Hey, everybody. We're starting right on time this week. That's great.
I want to do it more and more. I want to do it that way more and more, but you know how I am. There's no guarantees ever.
That's it.
Sometimes, honestly, sometimes I'm ready to go the minute I sit down here. And then other times I got to just bullshit with you guys for a little bit before I get in that groove where I'm ready to go. Yeah. I don't think it matters either way, and I'm a fucking lunatic, but that's just how it is.
Well, that's cool. But to talk a little weather pod, we're currently in the middle of another crazy thaw. We hit 10 degrees Celsius here yesterday. So all the, and it was raining and windy, so like all the snow is down to the grass again. So, yeah, what a weird winter.
Was really sunny here and decent for this time of year, and now it's clouded up and rained again, which is actually perfect. If it could do this, give us about 10 days of sun, 10 days of rain with the area I'm in, that would be perfect for what I do, essentially. But yeah, it'd be very nice. I'm not expecting it. You know, people go, oh, well, there's patterns to this and patterns to that. Yeah, there is, but you don't want to plan anything on long-range forecasts and wishful thinking, at least been my experience. But that's kind of nice. It'll probably... So you guys didn't get any of that American northeastern storm that everybody was whining about, and people who live in snow areas still managed to pile up 37 cars at once, even though they live in an area that gets snow?
Well, we had our own dose. I don't know if it was part of the same system or not, but we did have a pretty good smattering there on this past weekend. I think we got 20, 25 centimeters, but like most of that is gone. I think Roger had a barbecue tonight for supper. his whole deck was completely free of snow.
Yeah, but Roger sounds like me. I will barbecue in a fucking hurricane if I'm wanting barbecue.
That's fair, but you know, if your barbecue was buried in snow, then it becomes tough.
It might reach my threshold for laziness, which we all know is high, but it depends. Those little George Foreman and their knockoffs, it just ain't the fucking same, man.
No, it's not.
I mean, they're fine. I've had decent meat off of them, but it's just not the same. Let's just be fair. Also joining us, he's sitting over there in tropical land. Is it? Mardi Gras started, hasn't it, Glace? It's Glace, obviously.
No, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. Over. That's
it's done and over with. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure.
I still need to post my pictures. Let me get on that.
The reason I know, and this is an actual professional segue, is every day before, oh God, this shows my non-religious side. Excuse me. I inhaled weirdly there. Ah, sorry. There's Pancake Day. It's like the day before Ash Wednesday. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
And the Rooster Teeth podcast does a pancake podcast where they make pancakes while they're shit. Oh, God, going to hell already. They make pancakes while doing their podcast, which brings us to our first little bit of the show. And it's a hypothetical question, which means, for those of you that like to question me and annoy me, hypothetical means just answer the goddamn question. Okay, here's the setup. And I heard this on the Rooster Teeth podcast. They got it off Reddit. I refuse to go to Reddit to verify it because I just want the scenario. The details I don't care about. But here's the details. And this is the type of question, knowing you two gentlemen as I do, that I think I know how your answer, but I'm always curious nonetheless. So here's the setup. Dude meets a girl on a dating site, right? Internet dating. Whole nine yards. They get to talking, they hit it off, decide to move to Skype. That leads to moving to Skype video chat, which leads to it getting a little hotter, for those of you that want this PG-13, and it leads to both of them being naked on Skype video chat, which does happen. And after about 15, 20 minutes of that, she tells him that she's recorded him nude on Skype, and is going to put it on all of his social media. Unless he pays her I think they said $2,000, so we'll go with that. Sounds reasonable. Dude says, fuck that, decides not to. Deactivates all of his social media accounts and ignored them. They started a Facebook account for him and friended all of his friends and then posted the pictures and movie and its whole nine yards, right? So the dude's basically been posted. I would suspect blurred to a point. I didn't think you could post full nudity on Facebook, which means I should probably stay away from cameras when I'm drunk. Otherwise, it could get interesting. My question to you, gentlemen, and we'll start with Glacinator, because I'm looking forward to this. If you were put in that situation, what would you do? Would you allow the dirty photos to be posted to your social media saying, fuck it, or would you pay them their blackmail?
No, I wouldn't pay anything.
So you don't care?
No, I would definitely care, but...
But you just let it be posted, alert the family members you need to alert that things are going to be rough for a few days and call it a day.
I mean, most of my family members that I would be worried about seeing that are so technologically impaired that I could just say, like, oh, this is a Photoshop, you know, and they would believe me.
You can
find ways to weasel your way out of that.
So. See, I forget sometimes that you can be a little devious and clever, and I expected you to pay the ransom. I actually did. John, to me, was more the wild card in this one, so I'm looking forward to his answer.
You gotta have $2,000, college student?
You're not a college student anymore, dude.
Just graduated? I don't have $2,000.
Actually, I shouldn't have busted you on that. I complained about that for my first year out of college. You haven't been out a year yet, have you?
Ooh, well, yeah, it's been a year now.
Yeah, I guess it has. Yeah, that's right.
You were in 2 months.
December graduation. Yeah, so you can't use that excuse anymore. I've determined that. Like, I give a fuck. Okay, so Glacinator would let him post and lie to his technologically impaired family. I like it. Well, not lie. Maybe not lie. John, same scenario. Would you pay the $2,000 or would you let them post their dirty photos of you all over all over social media?
I think whether or not I have $2,000 is irrelevant. I wouldn't give them the goddamn satisfaction to take my money.
You guys both surprised me, because I'll ask you this. John, we'll start with you. What do you think I would do?
I'd think you'd say screw him.
Glace?
I think same thing.
Yeah, exactly. See, I didn't expect us all to share that same attitude. I thought you guys might be a little bit more worried about it. That's why I brought it up, because I don't give a fuck.
That being said, like Glace said, I would care. And it would be an awful lot of damage control, but I wouldn't give them the satisfaction.
Yeah, see, I would have three people on Facebook. Twitter, I don't give a shit about. You want to post nude photos, or if you can find nasty photos, or if you can Photoshop me, I don't care. Facebook, I would at least, there's three family members that are friends of mine that I would at least message and go, well, it's going to be a rough few days, but I have the freedom of not caring because they know I'm a lunatic, so... They know it's entirely possible I'd get myself in situations where it's kind of Glacinator's weaseling to a point. They just shake their head, roll their eyes, and go, oh, God, not again. You know, mm-hmm. But I mean,
I think if you the 2000 was guaranteed that they would never surface again. But I mean, you can't know that, you know, you pay them $2,000. They might not post it to your friends, but they might still have these pictures, and it's like they can still do whatever they want with them. So what's your $2,000 even? Your $2,000 just blackmail.
Yeah, collateral. It's not like it's contractually binding, you know. You just throw money at somebody hoping that they're going to keep some assholes going to keep to their word in that way.
Well, that's the thing. You guys are absolutely right, because prior to the internet, let's say somebody took actual photos through your window or something, you know, prior to the internet, you might have been more reasonably able to expect that they would go away. You know, you'd get the physical photos and the negatives. The internet doesn't work that way. It's the same thing I've talked about with trolling versus a bar fight. You know, you hit somebody in a bar, somebody gets their ass kicked, it's the end of it for the most part. Trolls now, they just keep going and going and going. They just keep trying to, they try and drag your friends in it. They try and do anything they can to keep getting under your skin. And it's the same thing with blackmail on the internet. I'm impressed, guys, because I had not thought of that, but it's absolutely true. You know, unless you have a lawyer write up a contract and make them sign it,
mm-hmm.
But are you really going to go to court over nude photos of yourself?
Well, it's like if you get in a traffic accident and, you know, the other person says, well, you pay for the damage. I mean, you're holding them to their word. They're not going to go and do something and claim you did something worse, or, you know what I mean? Like, you're,
yeah,
if you don't go through insurance, you're hoping that the person is truthful in their claim or whatever. You know, it's the same sort of thing. Like, you leave yourself open to the unwanted surprise down the road.
Well, I had a situation like that, sort of, the car accident thing, not nude photos. There are nude photos of me, but they're not on the internet as far as I know. Why anybody want to see my hideous, ugly ass in the first place? I don't know. You're sick. I don't like looking at myself naked. Anyway, I was going to work one day when I lived in the South, and this girl come around a corner and hit me, basically head on, got basically turned into the turn lane. And it's like, fuck. Well, I was driving an old Ford pickup that was built out of iron. It fucked up mommy and daddy's little Lexus or one of those types. Tore up the front fender, crunched the door. Mm-hmm. And so we pulled over. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning too, right? Because I'm going to work. On weekends, I had to work really early, especially when I was a scrub non-supervisor. Well, I still had to go in early when I was not a scrub. But anyway, so we stopped at a gas station, you know, and I looked up under my truck. There was nothing wrong with my truck. Might have put a new scratch on the bumper. Not that I hadn't done banging gates and other shit with myself. But, and so she's like, hey, I'll give you my phone number. And I'm like, no, you're not going anywhere until I determine that there's nothing wrong with my vehicle. And I'm like, because you hit me, you know. And she's like, okay, that's fine, that's fine. And so then I got to talking to her because, ah, she's a drunk college student. Do I want to turn her in for DUI or do I just want this to go away? Because my supervisor, who had my personal phone number, is texting me, pissing and moaning, because that guy, if one thing went even slightly from routine, and I love the guy to death, he was going apeshit bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I ended up being like 5 minutes late to work, but because it was like a block from the veterinary clinic. Anyway, so to not make this any longer, I checked mine. I couldn't smell alcohol in her breath. She said she'd picked up a drunk friend who'd woke her up, and she was dressed, you know, kind of in like sweats and shit. I didn't smell any booze. I think she just was really stupid because people don't turn very well anymore. The better car technology gets, the worse people seem to turn. You know, using whole turn lanes on other sides of the street because they're lazy fucks. But, so, let it all go, this, that, and the other thing. Got back to the house after work, checked under my truck again. There was nothing wrong with it. And she'd give me her phone number, so I thought, ah, for shits and grins, I'll dial the number. Because I had a suspicion, being she was a college student. Called the number, it was an unfucking hooked number. It wasn't in service. I figured that most likely, given her age and given the type of car, that her parents were probably going to do more to her than I could. Because when you hit an 84 Ford F-250 diesel with the newer car, don't do shit to the truck.
Nope.
But you're absolutely right, John. See, she tried to weasel out of it by giving me a phone number that no longer worked because she was afraid I was going to find something later that was wrong with the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it did $1,500 worth of damage. I was just happy because it didn't have to go to my insurance.
Ugh.
Once you get insurance involved, it's like getting a lawyer involved. It's out of your hands and you're doomed, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's impressive, guys. I am pleasantly surprised. You know, the thing about that stuff, though, too, how long do you guys think the embarrassment lasts? Where before you're just, like, over it? Because, like, for me, it's like 24 hours, and it's like, okay, it's out there. So I'll just start muting and ignoring people making fun of me.
Oh, I would say it'd probably be a week to 2 weeks before you heard the end of it, probably.
Yeah, you're talking about you personally.
Yeah.
How about you, Glaze, with the technologically impaired family?
I think it depends on the response from your friends. But, I mean, as someone who's a younger person, I think it's a lot, I don't know. It would take me a while to get over that.
Yeah, but your friends seem like the ones I've met and been around on, or seen around on Facebook, they seem like a pretty laid-back bunch. I don't think, it just doesn't strike me that they would never let you hear the end of that.
No, they would be fine. I wouldn't care about them seeing that or whatever, but other people.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Oh, God.
Especially as I'm searching for jobs right now, would not be a good combination.
Yeah, that is something you have to be careful about. But everything's a calculated risk, you know. I mean, I could understand how that guy got in that situation. Personally, the setup story, it really sounded like this was their first Skype call together. You don't do it on the. It's like, you know, you don't do that on the first Skype call. That's where the guy fucked up, as far as I'm concerned. No way in hell. You know, you take it a little slow. Maybe the internet, but you can still apply regular dating rules to shit.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't showing you my penis till the third Skype call, essentially, is what I'm saying. All right, next thing I've got. Quantum Break and the next Fable will not be sold on Steam. Win 10 store only. I don't know if that means it's only Windows 10 or what, but of the group of us here, I think, John, you were the most annoyed. Is that... Am I phrasing your attitude toward that right? Most of that's annoyed by this news.
That it's going to be on Windows 10?
Well, that it's going to be sold in the Windows 10 store. See, all the write-ups I saw about it said it was going to be sold in Win 10 store, which I guess means it's on Windows 10 only, but mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. Like, right. Can I go buy it on Win 7 from the Windows 10 store?
That's a good question. I had assumed that it meant that it was a Windows 10 exclusive, well, an Xbox One exclusive, you know, like a Microsoft exclusive. But
I would suspect it is. Hey, we're actually being informative because I checked the my RSS reader and all the blogs not too long before the show, and I haven't seen Microsoft correct it saying it'll run on any Windows PC, which you'd think if it would, they would have got out ahead of that and said, hey, no. They're basically doing a Sony and keeping their mouth shut. So I'm assuming it's Windows 10 only.
Yeah. No, and I mean, there's a little bit of an annoyance there in that I'm not sure if I'm quite ready to upgrade to Windows 10. But I mean, what was more interesting to me is that it's not just an Xbox One exclusive; it's now on PC as well. Because it was as I mentioned in my post in the chat about this topic, was that, you know, Quantum Break, depending on how good it was, might have been it would have been that and Rock Band 4, depending on how good Rock Band 4 was, it would tip the scale on me getting an Xbox One or a PS4 at some point. And now I have another reason not to have to get it, you know, not have to go current gen. So thanks, Microsoft, for saving me, you know, $400.
Did you see the guy that... See, I already knew that, and I didn't see it as... It just didn't have enough meat to it. The whole, oh no, it's only on Xbox One. You know, oh no, it was only supposed to be on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't bring it up when it happened, but did you see the guy that went at Aaron Greenberg screaming he was pre-ordering, how dare you, da-da-da-da-da?
No.
Oh yeah, look it up.
Some guy lost his mind?
Yeah, but I mean, it was, as internet tantrums go, it was D-level. You know, but
L level.
Yeah, it was pretty mild. I mean, he was just claiming he was gonna, you know, and I agree with Greenberg in the sense of the guy that already owns an Xbox One, that you're really gonna unpre-order a game because other people get to play it. That's stupid.
Yeah, that is dumb.
Your thing has a little bit more meat to it, but I want to ask Glace a specific question next. Glace, do you think that them starting to put these PC titles on Win 10 store only, is this Microsoft's latest attempt at making a walled garden, much like the ecosystem you roam around in, i.e. Apple?
No. Exclusivity is scary sometimes, and I want to say yes to this, but I mean, I can see counterpoints to saying no.
Yeah, but your gut feeling tells you yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that's what I want to hear. And, well, that's what I think you should go with. That's not what I want to hear, but that's what I think you should go with. And if you think, and that has come up on the interwebs, and I would agree with you, it's something we should be concerned about, but the internet has a very bad short-term memory because Microsoft's tried this before. John, do you remember when Microsoft has tried this before?
To have its own ecosystem?
Well, to try and maybe move people to an OS and try its walled garden like Apple has done since its inception.
You mean when they had the Windows, was it the Windows 8 with all the different, that what you mean? When they had the phone had the same OS as the
close. Yeah, that was that kind of that was on the OS side of it, but I'm talking the gaming side of it. No, when Vista was out, they had games for Windows Live, and that was supposed to hook in with the Xbox 360, and it was supposed to do all the same shit that this Win 10 store and Xbox One crossplay. By the way, stop calling it crossplay. It's not. Go fuck yourself. Pull your head out of your SMS and Sony. Let me play with people on Xbox One or PS4 on my fucking PC when we all have the game. That's crossplay. Not this horse shit. I can transfer my saves to my computer. I got news for you. I'm playing it on PC. I'm going to finish it on PC. I'm not transferring it to an Xbox One. But so they have tried this before, guys. Now what is that? What does your gut tell you when I fill in the gap that they sort of tried this a little bit with games for Windows Live?
Now I'm not as surprised. Duh.
Glaze, do they have to, do companies have to basically start off like Apple did with a walled, very manicured garden approach? They can't ever succeed at this trying to do it midstream, can they?
Right. I mean, you're switching gears, you know. I mean, I think as a general rule, people are going to be a lot more happy if you go from closed to open than if you go from open to closed, no matter what medium you're in. So Apple does have a slight advantage that if they did become more open at some point, you may get more followers, but that's not going to work vice versa.
You agree with that, John?
You could just say that again?
Glaze basically said that it's easier to go from a closed system to an open one rather than from an open to closed.
Oh my God, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, yeah, it feels like a step backwards. You know, you're back in a box, and you know, it's like I think about when I expanded from Nintendo to other systems. Like there was this box that I was in and with Nintendo, and you know, there was kinds of games that I couldn't get there. So and the Nintendo thing kind of dried up a bit back then. And once I got a 360 and PS3 and, you know, the Wii U comes out and starts selling games that are, you know, Wii U downloadable titles, and they're all like, it's all meant for people who don't have other systems, it seems like, based on the way they price things and stuff. And I was like, I can't imagine going back to just Nintendo products now because of that sheltered small space. And it's sort of the same thing, I think, with not having the Origins and the Steams and being stuck in a Windows box seems very confining.
Well, actually, you just mentioned a service, one that I use currently and occasionally because I'm playing Battlefield 4 off and on. I was playing a little bit of it today before the show. EA, when they put out Origin, everybody pelted them. Steam superior, ha 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 ha, ha la 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 la. They pulled all their games off Steam, most of their games off Steam. You know, they got pelted more. And then, as the internet does, they never keep up with anything. It's just from outrage to outrage to outrage. And so people just shut up about it. And Origin has gotten stronger. I won't say it's great. I find it to be all right. It does what I needed to do when I want to use it. It's not going to make me switch from Steam full time because I don't have the catalog, you know, of potentials that I do with Steam. But that's the key right there. And it'll never happen in this environment where companies are stampeded by idiots on Reddit and PR departments shitting themselves and panicking because they're afraid they're going to lose their PR job and have to get a real job. Mm. That was a joke. PR people do a lot of hard work. A couple PR people I know personally hear that. They're going to strangle me. Probably what I deserve, too. But actually, PR is one of the worst jobs on planet Earth. You guys don't get paid nearly enough because when you're bringing good news, there's still people going to bitch at you. When you're bringing bad news, they're really going to bitch at you. But that's what it comes down to. Companies try this shit, and then they get stampeded back into not trying it, you know. And EA didn't with Origin. I was kind of one of those people that thought maybe Origin would just vanish into vaporware after 6-8 months, and it hasn't, you know. And so I wanted to play Dragon Age Inquisition, and I wanted to play Battlefield 4 when Agent K brought it up. So guess what? I got Origin. But the difference is when I'm done with this current fascination with Battlefield, I will delete it, and I will delete Origin. I never delete Steam off my computer, you know. So yeah. It is possible to change things or to introduce new things, but you just got to ride out the you know, the initial hate wave. I mean, as much as I love Google Plus, Google did it with that too. They just let the fucking internet and people who don't even use it just pelt them to the point where they pulled in their horns, took out all the best features, and it'll die its death. Who knows when? Whenever Google feels like pulling the plug, you know. But it had a lot of potential. And I still get news and stuff we do on the show from there, but it's, you know, it's running its course. And it's because, again, Google just didn't run with it. I think YouTube Red's going to end up the same way. Have either of you even checked into YouTube Red yet? The subscription, no?
Not at all. I've seen it. I've seen links to it there, but not. I didn't even click it.
I'm probably the most YouTube head of the three of us, though. I'm thinking about doing it. Just because I'm tired of ads.
What's the cost?
I think it's $10. Don't quote
me on
that.
A month?
Yeah, probably. It's around Netflix.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Not really. Because you also get, like, again, Rooster Teeth. They made a movie called Laser Team. You get that on YouTube Red. There's going to be other stuff like that. They're expanding out to where I actually think it's worth the price, even if it's not right at the moment. And I'm looking it up, as you can hear me noisily clacking away on my keyboard. Yeah, $9.99 a month. $9.99 a month. I'd still rather pay that than $12.99 a month for Hulu, because they're cunts.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd have to watch YouTube an awful lot for me to pay $10 a month.
That, yeah, for YouTube, it's not a value. For me, it's a value, because I watch a lot of YouTube. I watch YouTube in one window, and in the other, I'm either playing a game that's windowed, or I'm doing work. And that's the biggest bitch, is having to, if I'm doing work, I do fine, unless I have to break my concentration to turn to the other window, kill the ad, you know. It's annoying. So, it's a little high, I'd say. Maybe Netflix price of, or what I got Netflix at, and you can still get when they do offers of $8.99 or $7.99. Might have been better. But Hulu's taking a piss if they think, you know, $12.99. I want to see their user numbers. They're claiming it's doing really well, but I want to see their user numbers. The internet's cheap, me included. So, John, are you essentially... Will it run on your PC? Well, even if you upgraded to Windows 10, will it run on your PC?
Oh, the game?
Yeah, did you look? Oh,
I didn't really look. That's a bridge I'll cross when I come to it.
Well, because, I mean, that kind of doesn't that, to be sort of fair, and it's not our job to be fair, we can be assholes if we want, but if it's going to give your PC trouble to run it, doesn't that kind of kick it back to, well, it makes the Xbox One a value again?
Maybe, but then again, I do have a lot of games on my computer that a marginal upgrade would help alleviate, you know, even some of those games to play a little better.
Yeah, my video card's probably slightly better than yours, but we have the same processor, and I just added 4 gigs of memory, because I never did get around to making that other one work to get all 16, because I'm lazy. And now I'm in the process of building another box that I'll game on. So, but, and I actually noticed the difference in a lot of games, just from more memory. You know, you listen to, and that's where people even wanting to tinker with their PCs, go to places like Tom's Hardware, where people scream at you all day long, it's GPU, 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 graphics card. And a lot of times it's not. ARK Survival Evolved, which I've been comboing in with Agent K and DJ Stu, that game ran like ass. A lot of it was because the game was not optimized when it launched. Just adding that little bit of memory, I'd been still playing it on a setting that was like for 4 gig of memory that they put out as a, oh shit, we fucked up and didn't optimize this enough when it first came out.
Right.
Well, they added BattleEye cheat protection software. Assholes. Not because I'm cheating, but because BattleEye's real. The only good cheat protection software is Punkbuster. BattleEye works most of the time on Arma, but every other game I've seen it on, it fucks it up. So, bottom line is, to play ARK without BattleEye, which most of the unofficial servers said, fuck you, and didn't put it on. and I don't play on official servers. By the way, the official just means it's run by the devs. Unofficial isn't some hole or wall hacking and flying around. None of that bullshit. Just means it's not supported. Well, there's idiots out there. Oh, you're playing on a cheating server. I go into Reddit just enough to make my head hurt. I know that. I know what goes on down there, kind of. But anyway, but the way that the devs did it was to play without the cheat or play without the anti-cheat. I almost said play without the cheats. Play without the anti-cheat. I had to play the game at full fucking force. It still runs. It lags a teeny bit, but it runs great.
Mm-hmm.
On to the point where I might actually shoot a video in it because it doesn't look like ass anymore. I mean, it was bad enough that I didn't even want to shoot one of my crappy YouTube videos in it because it just and it wasn't like if I was standing still, it was fine. It was movement. The rendering and movement was actually bugging me, and I can tell you that takes a massive amount for that to happen. That's still one of those games that's a definite group friends game. Which, speaking of that, I'm going to give a quick shout out. I'm not going to say his Steam username because I didn't get a chance to ask him before the show. But I met a guy in Arc the other day. Nicest guy in the world. And the one thing I've walked away with, getting to know him a little bit and hanging out with him, playing the game with, is... And I'm happy when these reminders happen because it's happened with meeting John and meeting Glace and all the WPO crew, Agent K, even DJ Stu, although he's occasionally a little bit of a troll. A funny one and a clever one, but a little bit of a troll, is that, you know, you meet 18,975,000 assholes when you play as many online games as I do. And you know what makes it worth it? That one nice person you meet every once in a great while. And this dude that I met in Ark the other day, I'm in his tribe, I'm hanging out on a server he's on. Totally makes that worth it. And I think sometimes as gamers, we need to focus on those ones, not the billions of dickheads. So, a little shout out to that dude. He's I think he might quite possibly be crazier than I am, but he's a pretty cool guy. I had, oh shit, what the hell else was it? Oh, yeah, this is just a quick rant. Games media, stop making shit sound like the world is coming to an end. Another writer, a lead writer on the next Mass Effect, left Bungie, or left BioWare for Bungie. God, to read the blogs, you'd think that BioWare is about to close. Also, Bungie needs as many writers as it can get, because from people I know that play Destiny, Bungie doesn't understand what a story is. Halo Reach. I think Halo Reach was the only one. They must have stole a bunch of writers then. But I'm so sick of the maudlin tone and hinting that, oh, is BioWare in trouble? Probably not. Dude probably was only hired the next Mass Effect and then doing. Next thing that I've got.
Just before you jump, I just got to run to the washroom for a second, okay?
All right. Your NBA team didn't do anything at the trade deadline, Glaze.
Nope, they did not.
Neither did anybody.
It was a bust anyway, so who cares?
Well, the brow's been hurt.
That's just why I don't like basketball that much. It's a ball hog sport, you know.
I like playoff basketball. Watching a full regular season game is kind of boring, but
I'll watch the last like 2-3 games, you know. But I don't know. There's so many games, you know. It's just like I have a hard time trying to care, you know.
Well, the problem is too, and there's no incentive to do it. What I learned when I started watching hockey more and more on TV. You know, I followed it in like newspapers and stuff back in the ye old days before it was on ESPN and all that. Was you kind of got to go through those doldrums of learning to watch the game. And there's not a lot of incentive to do that. And basketball is very much the same way, because all the passing and pick and rolls and all that junk that I only half understand. And so I think the more you watch it, probably there's potential to get into it more. There's also potential not to, but...
No, yeah, I mean, I played basketball in 8th grade. I was not very good at all, but I mean, I don't know, I just didn't have a good time playing or even, like, trying to deduce what was going on. I don't know. I feel like with football, I can sit back and, like, I don't mind analyzing what happens, but basketball, I'm just like, ugh.
Football!
I don't know, and, like, they play, like, music while the game is happening at the same time. It's like, turn off the music. I'm here to, like, watch people move around, not listen to freaking Lil Wayne over and over again, air horns. Like, oh, my God.
I actually like that about the live
random
games.
Random rant.
No, I actually like that about, well, I was going to cut all this out while John was in the washroom, but I don't think I will now. It's actually a pretty interesting discussion. Football is definitely much easier to have a quick, somewhat at least informed opinion about it. You know what I mean? Like the whole season this year, it was catch or no catch. You can make up your mind which you believe pretty fast, you know. So I could see that. Yeah, basketball, I only care at the playoffs. But no teams.
I find that the more that the coach is involved in the sport, the more I enjoy it.
You don't think coaches are that involved in basketball?
Okay, you call a timeout, sit on the bench, let's sub you in. Oh, you're bleeding. You should probably come out. I'm exaggerating a bit, but I mean.
If we got any sports fans listening, they're going to yell at you, Glaze. You're right that probably basketball is the least coached on the floor sport, yet the haters still find ways to give LeBron shit about not listening to his coach when he's right. I'm fascinated by matchups with basketball. We had a little sports discussion, John.
Oh.
You have a basketball team in Canada. It's the Toronto Raptors.
The Raptors.
Actually, I think I
saw them play once here in New Orleans. They sung O Canada before the game started. I thought that was cool.
Oh, they do that like they do hockey?
Yep.
Yeah, because when we're down here and it's a Canadian team, it's the both anthems, which I'm cool with. I'm glad to see the Pelicans did that. I wonder if all teams do.
Oh, that was back when they were the Hornets. So that was a while ago.
They're the fucking Pelicans. Was that a regular season game?
Or yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Are they in the same division? Ah, who knows? We're not a sports podcast. We could be a sports podcast. We could be any fucking thing we want.
Super misinformed sports podcast.
No, I actually pay attention. I actually pay attention to quite a bit of sports stuff. I get a kick out of Dan Patrick, so I watch all the videos they put up on YouTube and read ESPN and this and that. I find some stuff interesting, you know. And a lot of it, if you think about it, like the whole, you know, Cam Newton not being professional or whatever you want to say after the Super Bowl. I had mixed emotions about that because it's like, I'm a sore loser too. You try to put me in front of that fucking microphone 5 seconds after I lost the Super Bowl. You thought he was bad. When I was 25, you wouldn't have got me in front of that microphone for an hour if you wanted it to be airable. But at the same time, everybody wants a gracious loser. Nobody understands that that's not how real life works. I don't know. Do you two like losing?
No.
Not so much.
Yeah, the people that scream about that are the ones who probably, I don't know. I wonder about them. Oh, let's talk about this. Well, since we wandered into sports, yes, I'm leaving that in. Let's wander to the tech companies versus the FBI. Or the Canadian equivalent, or the Canadian police, or anybody. Are you guys aware of this, of what's going on?
Is this the iPhone that would not be...
Slightly. I may need to be informed completely.
Okay, so basically what happened is the knucklehead dirtbags that shot up San Bernardino had an iPhone, and the FBI can't crack the encryption, because they encrypted it. And so the FBI wants Apple to help them. Now, at this point, as far as I know, no, actually, I think the FBI tried back channels because this was a federal judge that basically told Apple to unencrypt the fucking phone. And Apple said, fuck are you! May not have been what their lawyer said, but I like to think that happens or could happen. And so then Facebook, or no, excuse me, I'm not giving Zuckerberg's bunch of fucking pylons that much love. Google jumped in next and said, we ain't doing, you know, we're standing with Apple. And then, of course, Zuckerberg, who is always looking for good PR anywhere he can get it, because he's a succubus. Yes, he's the only one that works at Facebook. Shut up. Anyway, and then Facebook piled on and everybody else piled on. So the crux of the argument here is that the U.S. government is attempting to get information off of these legitimate dirtbags, not normal people's phone, and Apple is basically saying, if we do this once, this is me interpreting it. There's a story I can click right here, and I will be fucked if I'm going to do that. Apple's basically saying, we do it once, then we got to do it when you want, blah, 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 blah. You know, basically saying it's weakening privacy, like that exists. What do you think, Glace? Is Apple right to do this, even though it's a bunch? It's known dirtbags. I refuse to use the T word. I thought the people in Oregon were dirtbags. I thought the people throwing bricks through windows in Ferguson were dirtbags. If you, well, the minute you start committing violence or threatening violence, you're a fucking dirtbag. So now that we're clear on how I view the world.
You mean the pterodactyls?
Yeah. Those people.
No, well, I mean, I think Apple can do whatever they want in that aspect. I mean, I don't think it's any of the FBI's business to demand. I mean, I understand national security issue, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, that still violates the trust of the device, you know? So...
How does that do that, doing it one time for someone who A is dead, mm-hmm. B
I think it's the principle of the matter. I mean, obviously the person is dead, you know, he's not gonna be pissed off that someone's hacking into his phone, you know, he doesn't care.
Right, but here's what I want to know. Here's my question. I have no issue with this. I don't give a fuck what Apple does, I don't give a fuck what the FBI does, you know. At some point, something is going to get missed, and innocent people may get hurt. That's how it works. Is it going to be this, like the fucking far right is screaming? No. Is this a super invasion of privacy, like the far left is screaming? Yeah, not really. It's a deceased person, and they were dirtbags. Known dirtbags. Shot people. But bottom line is here's the question I don't understand, is... How is doing this to one phone, you know, how is that opening a Pandora's box? I still don't get that.
I mean, because it sets a precedent. I mean, like, the question is, what's the line? You know, is it murderers? Or is it just pterodactyls? You know, where does the line start where you're allowed to do this?
Right. Okay, I get that, but this is a federal judge.
Mm-hmm.
I.e. mostly.
So if it goes, to federal warrant. Court, would be your line.
No, I have no line.
The supposed line.
I mean, shouldn't rational thinking people feel more confidence that the FBI's getting a federal judge to agree with them than what the NSA was doing, and is supposedly now not doing because of a piece of legislation? Fucking idiots. Oh, we stopped the NSA from spying because we overturned the Patriot Act. No, they just went back to doing it in secret, you fucking douche canoes. I mean, that's my hang-up. Again, I have no set opinion about this. Listen carefully to that statement. I just, when a court of law is asking you to do it in one particular case, it sets a precedent, yes, but it sets a precedent with pretty clear guidelines to me. Am I wrong? Viewing it that way, maybe I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think maybe there does need to be more clarification on what the line is.
Right.
Where we're doing it for these reasons, because it's gotten to this level of pterodactylism, you know, so so it is allowable in this instance, or necessary in this instance.
What do you think about all this, John?
To be honest, I'm not sure if I've decided on how on a position fully one way or the other. I, you know, the principle of the thing being, you know, this is all, you know, the service, the item, the concept is about privacy and supposedly, you know, you are supposed to be able to keep your own property private, but in the case of this, where there's could be information to save lives, it's, you know, that could be worth it too. I find myself very torn between the two. I don't know if it would necessarily open Pandora's box, but then, you know, you'll always have that thought that, well, there's a, you know, call it a back door, or call it a, you know, well, I'm safe unless someone decides it's bad enough that they need to get in there, you know, like it's, I see this, I see the points of both sides for sure. And I don't think I've really settled on what I think.
Well, this is an interesting discussion, but I'm seeing here, cause I finally just clicked on the article. By the way, if you want me to take your article seriously, I did get this off of Yahoo, which is fast becoming even worse than Reddit. It's becoming MySpace. Daniel Roberts, if you want me to take your article seriously, about this kind of shit, don't quote Anonymous and Edward Snowden, because, especially Anonymous, Snowden I have mixed feelings on. Anonymous, go fuck yourself. And I'm saying that to Daniel Roberts, not Anonymous. I don't care what they do. Basically, what the FBI wants them to do, I see that you're absolutely right on the subject matter. We all, both of you are. But what the FBI genuinely asked for, and it's nice 3 days later that somebody wrote this down in plain Englishese. I can read legalese, I just don't like to. That basically what Apple or what the FBI wants them to do is write a piece of software so they can get around the passcode. And they're using a law from 1789 that allows them to ask a third private party to do so. So this individual case, I kind of see where people are, the people that are rationally freaking out. Is that a thing? Could get, yeah, it depends on who wrote it. I like some of the Times writers. Other ones are over the fucking edge. If you haven't figured out by this point, I like people who understand that the word middle and compromise aren't dirty, cowardly words. Get a fucking clue, presidential candidates, you pricks. Oh, and not fake moving to the middle, Hillary. Son of a bitch. By the way, I'm not voting for any of them. Maybe the first time in my entire life I'll vote for president. I'll vote for everything else, but not president. Fuck it. But I kind of see, on that specific thing, I see the Pandora's box that the people are whining about. Do you kind of see it now, Glaze, that they want them to write? Basically, the guy had a password and they can't crack it, which is stupid. Give it to a five-year-old. He'll have it cracked in 5 minutes.
Like the iPhone 4-digit password you use?
I would suspect it was probably jailbroke. Yeah, the FBI is kind of being dumb here, but not for privacy reasons, aren't they? Like, I'm sure a Google search would have turned up something that could have broke this fucking shit.
Yeah.
But that's...
The guy didn't seem very smart in the first place. I mean...
No shit!
His phone can't be that hard to get into.
I get why Apple's making a stand, and I'm okay with Apple making a stand in this specific instance. No matter what I think of the information the phone may contain. But the FBI is being really dumb here. You're the fucking FBI. You managed to talk a bunch of whack jobs out of a fucking snowed in, middle of shit nowhere bird watching reserve, only killing one of them. Yeah, I mean, and one of them, yes, one's one too many. Go look up Waco and Ruby Ridge if you want to know how the FBI used to do shit. One dude who was a complete fucking lunar anyway, from what I can tell, versus a barbecue in Texas. The FBI's improving. Well done. This is dumb. But it also proves that anything can become a controversy. Now that I've actually read in plain English, and I'm not kidding you, I've read three other articles, and they didn't explain it as well as this one did. That basically, the iPhone 5C that belonged to San Bernardino shooter, Syed Farouk, the order handed down, how come I can say Arabic names so easily and can't pronounce Japanese to save my fucking ass? Handed down by a U.S. magistrate judge, demands Apple write new software that can help the FBI get around a passcode so it can search the phone for evidence, and the FBI isn't playing ball. Google! Use Google! I bet you could break that passcode, Glaze.
Have they tried 6969 yet?
No, what's one... Oh, boy. I was about to say something that could walk us into dangerous territory. I don't know if it's dangerous or not, but you know how upset people get in the drop of a hat. I was going to say, look for numbers with significance to Islam and start typing those in. Again, not really all that controversial by itself, but once this goes out to the internet, it might be.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, and that's the thing. I mean, we do this and it goes public, quote unquote. But I think part of the reason, and this is not right of me, I totally admit it, but part of the reason I can't get upset about this one way or the other, I support Apple doing whatever the fuck it wants, as far as, you know, telling the government, you gotta come up with a better reason than this. But at the same time, I'm one of those people that has zero expectation of privacy. To me, those days are over. You know, I decide to punch some dude that freaking cuts in front of me in line. There's going to be 8,000 people with their smartphones that they had stuffed in their face, texting or Twittering or whatever, filming me and then cutting it up so to make sure I or the dude that I show that cut in front of me looks like a complete asshole, you know, one way or the other. I mean, when you're behind your closed doors, yeah, you probably should have some expectation of privacy. But the minute you step outside the door,
watch out.
Yeah. It's not an easy issue to decide. I mean, even if you look past the how dumb the FBI is being, something like this, how do you set clear and present guidelines, especially in a post-NSA Snowden dickhead trapped in the fucking South American embassy? You know, I'm torn on the basic facts, or torn on the basis of, they do it to one, will they do it to all? I mean, that's what the conclusion, it seems like, the bulk of people jump to. Am I right in thinking that, John, that they jump to the conclusion if they do it once, they're going to do it to everybody, including people who aren't guilty of anything? I mean, is that where the minds of the horde go immediately?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the slippery slope is what everybody fears, right? I mean, it's you know, for a good reason now, if they let someone in now, what's to stop them from later, you know, something else? It's some of it, I guess, is might be a little, you know, might be over the top, you know, to think that far. But, you know, there is the principle, as Clay said, right? Like, you're supposed to be able to have privacy, and I don't know.
You agree, Clay?
With John?
Yeah.
Are you saying? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my whole point.
Is that where your guys' brains go? That next, what? They're going to be after my phone?
Well, you know, partially. I mean, I wouldn't. I'm on that fence of whether I'd be totally against it or I understand, like, in certain cases, you know, exceptions are to be made, right? I just don't. I feel a little uneasy, you know, either way, I guess.
Well, again, I think giving them clear guidelines, like Glaze said, is what you do, because I wasn't joking when I said, you know, they did it in the Patriot Act and Obama was really happy about it. And fair enough, that act was a little bit over the top. Way to go, Bush. But that's based on the premise that the NSA just stopped spying on people as soon as let the Patriot Act expire, you know, happened. They didn't. They're still doing it. They did it in secret before. You know, everybody thinks they've uncovered all the secrets of the U.S. government. No, you haven't.
No.
And I just can't waste my energy worrying about that. You want to look at my fucking stupid conversations with Quiglin and H&K on WhatsApp? Or my even dumber text messages with my friend? And that's not the I have nothing to fear defense. I just don't care. I can't. You're not slowing my life down. Or hindering my life in any meaningful way, so I'm just not going to care. And that is not a good attitude to have, but it's the attitude I have. Because real change doesn't come from politicians lying to you from behind a podium. It never has, and it never will. In my lifetime, the two closest things I can think of we've had to real earth-shattering change was what caused the Berlin Wall to fall and the start of the Arab Spring in Egypt. Obviously, the Egypt thing hasn't worked so great after that, but that's how you make change, not some politician promising it. You know, and so you want to stop the NSA? Well, I'll start putting politicians in who actually are going to do what they say, not that current crop of dumbasses. Oh, boy. Let's find something more interesting to talk. Can't believe and that's the other thing. At least the FBI is going to a judge. I mean, isn't that a step in the right direction? Granted, they're using a law from 1789. Yeah. That's got to be the oldest law I've seen referenced to weasel their way into something. Is that, Glaze is a younger person, is that a step in the right direction? You know, they're going to a judge to try and get this done rather than just behind the scenes twisting Apple's arm.
Following the rules is always a good thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not denying that's what they should always do. But that's the thing, the FBI, as federal agencies go... And full disclosure, I've known a couple federal agents in my life. The They tend to be more above board than some of our others. It's the NSA and CIA you really should be concerned with, not the FBI. Because theoretically, the FBI, their name says it, Federal Bureau of Investigation. They're still law enforcement. They're not spooks. They're not spies, you know. So it didn't surprise me they went to a judge. But then again, too, why go to a judge when you're just going to get stonewalled, a bunch of bad PR? You wonder why they do it in secret. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were stonewalled from doing something and you decide, fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway, wouldn't you try and do it sneaky then, John?
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of a double-edged sword, Glaze? I mean, I'm not excusing them and I'm not giving them permission. I'm just saying, if I was put in that situation, is it your next move to go sneaky peeky?
Absolutely.
It's a no-win situation is what it turns into. Did you guys read, or at least scan, notice how I said scan, because really that's all I do too, the article that Mr. Couture wrote? That's why I keep paying attention to him, because for every time he pisses me off, he bangs out something I really, really like. Did you guys scan through that article?
A little bit.
I did.
Yeah, that's really all I wanted. There's just no way around that, isn't it? He's absolutely right. Basically, what Ben wrote was that people are basically trying to haul ass through Firewatch, which is a new, I don't even know how to classify that game. I'm going to play it at some point, but haul ass through this interactive adventure, I guess we'll call it, because they can get it done in under 2 hours, then they can get a refund and play the game for free. You know, he even said in the article, it's not a perfect system, but I just thought that, and I, for once, will post this link in the actual website post, because I thought he wrote really well about, you know, come on, give devs a little credit. But that's the thing. I mean, gamers shit all over EA and Ubisoft and all those guys pirate them, and then they turn around and do this, you know, to a dev who's trying to do something different. You're never going to win. I don't know, Did you see anything interesting? What's your thoughts on this, on the article and the whole thing, Glaze?
I mean, I wanted to get Firewatch. That was a game that I was interested in. Remember being interested in out of all the games that I saw at E3. I was like the random, oh, that looks interesting. It's not on Xbox yet. I already checked. But, I mean, I think this just, there really is, like you said, there's really no way to win. But, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway you can have is that maybe they just priced it too high. I mean, it sucks that this guy is a jerk and like, oh, I'm refunding this, you know, but.
Well, it's more than one jerk.
Well, yeah, you know, but I don't know. It's just, it's, you know, supply and demand, you know, if you can turn it back for free, you're going to do that. But if you feel like you got a lot out of the game, you're not going to have a problem paying $18 if you were freaking amazed by it, you know, so. But at the same time, you don't want to lower your price because, I mean, obviously it's $18 for a reason, you know, so. I don't know. It just hurts everyone in the end because now I was looking into getting this game and now I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just hold off a bit until it goes down some more because this guy wasn't satisfied with the playtime. So.
Yeah, but do you ever wonder when you're looking at some of these people, because I see them on the Steam reviews too, how fast they play? Are they just
that's true. Yeah, you have no idea if this guy was just trying to play it to beat the return time or not.
Well, so. I was talking to Agent K on WhatsApp before the show, and we both own H1Z1, the zombie survival game from Daybreak, formerly Sony Entertainment. And he's like, oh, in 2.5 hours I've gone through all the PvE content. I'm like, yeah, but you're like a crackhead who just stumbled onto a fresh kilo. And he is. He's a really fast. He plays really fast, and he gets through content. He wants to see content. So what he did in 2 hours on H1Z1 would take me 6 or 8, because I want to understand stuff, you know? And there's nothing wrong with how either of us plays, but I guess my suggestion would be to you is that if you think it's going to be give you a full value experience at $20, because that's what it's listed for on Steam, which is a bit high for a game like that. We really need to get back down to that $15.99 or $14.99 kind of Xbox Live from the 360 generation. You know, maybe it's worth $20 to you. just because some other dickhead got through it in 2 hours so they could get a refund, you know. And again, we've kicked it around already in 2016. What's the value of experience, you know? How about you, John? What were your takeaways from this article? I got to start remembering to use that word more, at least it's a good one.
Personally, if the person who's talking about this is just trying to squeeze in the game so we can get a refund, that kind of pisses me off, actually.
Kind of pissed me off, too, when I originally read it.
It's like this having your cake and eating it too thing. Like, why didn't you just freaking pirate it and just get it over with? Like, why put the screws to people who made that game like that? It's just so petty and stupid. Like, it's just, I've been sitting here trying to think what are the right words to say about it, because it seems such a small petty thing to go after, to race through a game and you know, and perhaps not even enjoy it, and just to say you got through it and got your money back. Haha, I beat the system. Good for you, dude, you know? Doesn't it seem petty?
Yeah, petty is absolutely correct. And it pissed me off too, because it's if you were expecting more content than that, why didn't you read reviews? Or like you said, why don't you pirate it? I mean, you guys probably don't know, and I don't know if they're still going. There used to be this comic called Little Gamers. And it could still be going. Two Swedish douches. I call them that lovingly. And they were pirates. But they had a golden rule. And they proved it multiple times. I liked their comics, so I read along on their news posts and stuff. Where they'd pirate games and then go buy it if they liked it. And while I don't agree with that attitude, at least they followed through on it. You know, they played the game. They liked it. They paid for it. Yeah, it says $18. It was 20. It's 20 on Steam. I thought 18, you know. But like Ben says here in the article, though, Arkham Knight, would that have been pulled, John, if there was no refunds? I mean, you're absolutely correct. Dude's an idiot.
I mean, if a game, if there's a reason to say that the game is broken, or, you know, you're not getting, you know, the game is not giving you what it promised, or what you know, and I'm not talking about game length here. I'm talking about just, you know, here's what the experience of the game is. Like, I go to the bookstore and I find a book that's basically a pamphlet versus a book that's 100 or 500 pages long. Like I'm getting what I paid for. I paid for that book. You know, I mean, just because I didn't like the book doesn't mean I can get a refund. You know, like, this isn't. I mean, maybe that's a bad analogy, but it makes me even just more pissed off about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're never gonna win, but I actually like your take that if you're gonna do that bullshit, then just pirate it. I've refunded one game on Steam, and I ran around in it for an hour and 45 minutes, and the reason I refunded it was it did not have enough content. It was another survival game. There were like 7,000 other survival games I've got. They hadn't done enough to differentiate themselves from the rest. I saw some things that looked like they might have been straight up bought from the Unity Asset Store. No retexturing or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I went, no, I'm just... But bearing in mind that maybe 6 months down the road, I'd turn right around and give them $15.99 or whatever it was again. I think it was $20 too.
Look, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's one thing to come away from a game actually unsatisfied with what you had, and Steam gives you the opportunity to refund it. That's fine. But going in there with the expectation that I'm going to beat the clock and get in, get out, and get the full experience, whether I liked it or not, is that's brutal.
Yeah, the one thing I saw in this article that I think Steam needs to stop doing is, and again, this goes back to our earlier discussion of PR and all that garbage, when you're over the time limit, fuck you. Because one thing I learned in this article is if you go through Steam support, sometimes they'll give it to you anyway. Mm-hmm. And they need to not do that if the game's not broken. If you can't prove the game's broken, then Steam needs to not do that at all. Don't you agree, Glaze? Shouldn't it be once you're past the time, unless you can... the burden of proof should be on you to prove that the fucking thing's broken or there's something irrevocably wrong with it.
Yeah. Some type of crash log or...
Right. If that were the case, I could have returned Battlefield 4 like 3 times. Well, you know, speaking of that, you want to talk about
Fallout most returned game of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, how does that happen though? John, how long do you think it takes before a bug goes from being something to outrage over to where they're basically beloved in Fallout? Like the Ubisoft game where people's faces were melting off, the Assassin's Creed, whatever, just need to start calling them years, although apparently they're not putting one out this year. Ran out of shit to do, probably.
It's when you can't progress anymore. When a game stops, or I guess if you have a screwed up face, if that persists throughout an entire game, I guess you're probably going to lose some of the enjoyment. But if you have a game breaking bug where you hit this wall and you can't play it anymore unless you like restart or reboot, and go right to the beginning again, something like that. That's a bit different.
Well, knock on wood. That's me knocking on wood. Probably make my dog bark too, because she thinks somebody's knocking on the door. But
I remember there's a bug in Metroid Other M. Something in a certain sequence, the game just stops. Like you cannot finish the game. You can't move forward. And they had to do some kind of wraparound weird patch, I think, to you have to download from the eShop because we didn't really update like other systems did, or do, I should say. And if that's the case, I mean, if I hit that and when I play that game, I probably would have brought it back.
Well, that's what I was going to say about the knock on wood thing, was that I have played Fallout 3, Vegas, and 4, and I had to restart my Xbox twice on Fallout 3. I think only one of those was due to an actual bug. And Fallout New Vegas, I had one little issue with it, but learned how to correct that. Now, 3 I played on Xbox 360, Vegas and 4 I played on PC. The rest of it has all been endearing bugs. I think John nailed it, didn't it, Glaze? If they're just happenstance or funny little bits that you can film and throw on YouTube along with everybody else, it's fine. But if they're game-breaking, if they actually stop you from going, then it's bullshit, which is Ubisoft's specialty. Is that about right?
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Well, that's what Patman, our very own Patman, is playing the Division beta, the open beta on Xbox One. And I gotta say, Ubisoft has gone from when I picked up Assassin's Creed Revolutionary War Bat Out of Hell, whatever one that was, Glaze knows better than I do. The mechanics bugged the shit out of me, as we all know, but the game never broke. And so I kinda got a little confidence back in Ubisoft. And after the Assassin's Creed face melter, some of their other bonehead moves in the last couple of years, and them being so vague about what the Division is, I was interested to hear Pat's take on it, but I have no interest in it. You know, AJK is going to play it with a bunch of people from his work, so it's like, well, there's the one person I might have played it with. And it doesn't sound like a game you can play by yourself or with randoms. So, and I don't know, to be honest, because Ubisoft's been so fucking vague about it that, you know. But that's how the pendulum swings, you know. No, the Battlefield 4 thing I'm talking about is apparently Firefox and occasionally Chrome will crash your fucking video card. And so I was having a hell of a time staying in matches, and there's nothing like getting 3/4 of the way through a match, doing pretty good, scoring a lot of points, and having the game crash on you, and it not going through. So I finally figured out what was causing it and got rid of the problem. Granted, I got the whole thing plus all the DLCs and any future DLC for $20, so not getting my money back on that deal. Damn it, I just thought of something else that I wanted to talk to you guys about. And now I forgot what the fuck it was. I don't know. Has anybody been playing any new games? I've been pretty much playing the same old shit.
I've been playing... Anything I've played has been much the same, but today, Peter played a little bit of Portal 2.
And, how did he do with that? I'm curious about that, because it is a kid-friendly game in the sense that there's not a bunch of super violence, but I'm an idiot, so that game frustrates the fuck out of me. Maybe kids would be better at it.
Well, I mean, we pretty much played through Portal 1 together. Like, I mean, I sit down with them and I kind of coach them a little bit on some of the on the puzzles. But, you know, I mean, he played Portal 1, I guess, last year. And he's gone back to it lots of times, starting from the beginning all the time, going through the first couple of the first, I guess, the first seven or eight rooms. But he catches on pretty quick. I mean, and you know, with Portal 2, we only played about a half an hour there this evening, and he played fairly well. Like, he was getting caught up in the story, because you start off and it's, you know, after the events of the first one, and you know, you're in that little room, and the walls are falling away, and he caught on pretty quick, you know, trying, you know, what was going on, and then, you know, the first couple rooms of Portal 2 are fairly, you know, like just showing you the ropes, you know, here's how you shoot a portal, here's how you can get around, and I didn't have to coach him too much, so, you know, I think we got to this large room where you had to make the companion cubes, you know, you had to get them from one side of the room to where you were, so you could lay them on switches and stuff. And once he started seeing that, you know, making those fall through portals and making, you know, rather than just yourself, he was kind of going, oh yeah, look at this. You can see it clicking even more. So he liked it a lot. So he said he wants to play it again. So one thing I did notice that I didn't realize before, Bruce, you know, remember when you and I played co-op online that time?
Right.
I didn't realize that there's a split screen version of that you can play on one PC.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So now I'm thinking I might have to get myself another PC controller, because that, you know. If there's one thing Peter loves, is that we get to play co-op on something, and so Portal 2 would be pretty fun, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, the 360 controllers are coming down in price, the plug-in ones. You have the one with the USB dongle, don't you?
Nope, I have the direct plug-in. And
that's what I meant, yeah. But it's got the cord break in it. Like mine, 90% of the time, USB end sits in my PC, and then I can just plug in the controller.
Yeah, yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It has that. Yeah, I would get another one of those.
Yeah, I bet they've come down in price big time as long as the one's been out.
Yeah, if you know, if Peter wants to play it again, I mean, I'm not going to just run out and get one right away. But I mean, if he keeps insisting and sticks with it, then maybe I definitely will.
You got to give Valve credit though, because there are spots you can get to. A lot of them are Easter eggs that I found on YouTube and then went and found the game. I'm not that good or that patient. That are dark. As a parent, you'd have some splaining to do, especially in Portal 1. But if you just play the game through and don't go hunting for them, that game's, I call it trending towards PG maybe.
Well, it's rated T. I mean, it's
right.
When you find the turrets, they do kind of shoot you up a little bit and you can see a couple, you know, blood splatters on the wall, but it's not, you know, blood and guts by any stretch. You know,
right, but there is the famous room in Portal 1 that I would trend towards a little darker than that.
Oh, you mean with the stuff written on the walls? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're a little darker. But that's the tone, right?
Yeah. Glace, have you played both of them? They were on Mac, I think.
Yeah, I played both Portals. I mean, I had the orange box, so that's how I played the first Portal.
Oh, that's how we played TF2 on 360, wasn't it?
Yep. And I played through Portal 2 with my roommate. So, and I've also done single player. So I've done the whole thing.
Yeah, that was early days of us, all three of us communicating over voice. And John and I tried the Steam in-game chat, and it blew goats.
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, I have to say that you got to give Steam props because, well, poor Stuart's been having, DJ Stu's been having issues with it, but the in-game voice chat or just chatting over the little, you know, comms that, like if you're texting with somebody on Steam, it's gotten shit ton better. I'd still rather use TeamSpeak or my preferred this, Skype, but it's gotten a lot better. John and I had a lot of fun playing Portal Co-op with you. It adds an element to it. It's still a great experience by yourself, but it definitely adds another element to it. Honestly, I've said this before and gotten pelted on by friends of mine, but I'd rather have another Portal game than Half-Life 3. Honestly, would.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to a Portal 3.
Yeah, that's what the hell was it? Oh, Mass Effect Andromeda will be out this year. I'm actually looking forward to see what they do with that. BioWare's got one shot, not because of the ending of Mass Effect 3 either. Of course, if you listen to the show, you should know that. From me, anyway. Just because I want to see how they're going to write it. You know, because supposedly it's another three-game trilogy. That was the rumor, anyway. And I'm going in with confidence when I play Andromeda. But if it's kind of meh, anything after that might be, well, this has run its course. Either of you picking up Far Cry Primal?
I still need to finish Far Cry 3 or 4, whatever one that is I got for Christmas.
4.
I had to finish Far Cry 2.
I got to finish 3 and 4. I was going to, and then I got into this Ark Survival Evolved coma. I'm kind of curious to see how Primal does. Because it's like, Ark Survival Evolved probably requires more time than either of you want to put into it. So if you can get that same experience of taming crap and catching crap in a more structured environment, I think Ubisoft's got a winner, but they're definitely going to miss some people. Like, I'll pick it up later, kind of like I did 1, 2, and 3 in a Steam bundle. Hopefully with 4 and Primal. But I think Ubisoft might have a winner here for people who don't want to invest a lot of time into survival, you know, survival games outside of, you know, the game we shall not name. Because while it's definitely not one I'm going to pick up, I can see you guys both enjoying it. And you would get a similar experience to what you get in Ark Survival Evolved. Mm-hmm. Just, again, more structured. At first, I was kind of poo-pooing it, or for a while there, I was kind of poo-pooing it. I loved the trailer at E3. But then I realized that there are a segment of gamers who aren't going to play, you know, the more involved survival games, don't have the time, don't want to put in the time. And so that might be a nice, neat niche for them. But again, it's Ubisoft. Who knows how they'll find a way to fuck it up. Maybe the mammoths will have their faces melting off. If you want to go watch some of the gameplay, both Frankie on PC in 1080p and Jack Frags, two YouTubers I enjoy immensely, have some early gameplay footage. They got some codes and went through the rigmarole of telling Ubisoft they're great and all this shit to be able to put it on YouTube early. So you can see a little bit of it. It looks pretty good, but again, I'm not seeing anything there that makes it worth full boat for me. You've been playing anything, Glaze? Then we'll get the hell out of here.
Crosswords.
On your iPhone?
On my iPhone and in real life.
Have you done any? Have you paid for any ads? We'll go through this again. Get broad.
No, I paid for no ads.
They have ad block. Don't they have ad blockers now for smartphones?
I think they do.
For Apple? I don't know about that.
I think they do for Android. I don't know. I don't pay attention. Again, it's one of those things. I'm playing a game for free. Either I'll uninstall your game when the ads are too annoying, or I'll just put up with them because I'm playing a game for free. You know? What kind of ads are on Crosswords? Like Depends diapers and...
It's an ad for...
Brand muffins?
Wheel of Fortune Clue. It's ads for other games, basically.
Yeah, I was trying to be a smartass there. It didn't work. trying to hint that you playing Crosswords means it's for old people. How are you not playing Words with Friends then, still?
I had that a while ago, but...
Yeah, but how does that run its course?
With other people waiting for my turn.
That makes sense. That's what did me in. Is that what did you in, John? Or do you still play it?
I just kind of found, well, the waiting was a bit much, but then, like, the more of my friends stopped playing it as much, the few, you know, I was just playing against Roger mostly all the time, and, you know, you kind of hit a ceiling on it, I think, after a bit.
Yeah, I see what Glace is talking about, because doing an actual, I was trying to think, when's the last time you did an actual crossword, John?
A couple months ago, I'd say.
Oh God, it's been years for me. I can't even begin to remember when the last time I did a crossword. I used to love them. I used to do them in the one in the local paper. That's what Glace was talking about in iPhone and real life. I like how we delineate things just by saying real life, and everybody knows what we're talking about. I use a stone tablet and a chisel. Is there
an
just
an abacus?
Yeah, he's an abacus and a compass, an actual compass that shows directions, not the math kind. Do you just get the one paper glaze, or will you actually buy a paper just for a crossword?
No, half the fun is finding them in the wild. You know, so when I go to restaurants, I'll see if they have like little newspapers on the side. You know, different ad newspapers have them in there.
So you almost turn it into like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, it's like a scavenger hunt, you know. And then usually at a restaurant, I'll sit down and do it while I wait for the food to come out.
You wonder why we're so cheap, John. People are returning games before they... Although, I gotta give Glaze props. That adds an element of a hunt to it. And I bet you're disappointed when you don't... Okay, let me ask you this. I actually just mid-sentence thought of something. Will you buy a paper if the hunt proves unsuccessful?
No.
You just sit there looking pissed.
No, that's the whole point. I mean, it's free, you know.
See Glaze-nator sitting in a diner or a cafe or a restaurant in almost said St. Louis. Jesus. New Orleans looking frustrated because he's got to wait for his food to come out without a crossword.
Then I have my phone. And I use one on my phone.
That's where I was going next. You just turned to your iPhone.
It's the last resort option.
Do you do Sudoku? Or Sudoku, however you say it.
Usually they're on the same page, and I'll do like a couple in the crossword, and then when I get stuck... Then I'll do the Sudoku, and then I'll go back to the crossword, because then I'll have like my brain would have had time to reboot itself.
You're wired such a way that you should just already get the senior discount.
I'm ready for it. I'm so ready.
He's the oldest guy here, John.
I know, right?
In bed,
dude. I love IHOP.
God, it's a good thing none of us care about our reputations. I wouldn't admit to loving IHOP. I like IHOP too, but...
Just give me some waffles.
Okay, ultimate old guy question though. Old guy and young guy's body. Have you ever played bocce ball?
The one where you roll the balls towards the other balls?
Yeah, I think so.
I played with a bunch of French people in college.
Shuffleboard?
I have played shuffleboard.
What about pinochle?
What? Pinochle?
You might have gone too old, John. As in
pinochle.
As in that sounds, night out with the gentle
dark. Sounds very dirty. Goodness.
Backgammon? I'm just gonna keep throwing them out.
I have not played backgammon. I know how to play, but I've never actually played it.
I have played pinochle. I hate to admit that, but I'm older than Glaze-nator by age. I'm starting to think I'm younger than him in attitude, though.
I'm pretty mellow.
Wait, if our audience has figured out anything about you, Glaze, you are pretty mellow. That is the only thing that butt hurts me about the fact that I could not record the Xbox 360, because the only time I've seen Glaze-nator frustrated in games outside of the Minecraft and outside of the game we shall not name incident with your brother, but that was family. The only time I've seen Glaze-nator get animated and annoyed is when we were playing shooter games on Xbox 360. He will get a little hyped up then. And I may have gone out of my way to make sure he stayed that way just to watch.
No, I mean, I don't like losing. I mean, you can't lose a crossword. You just don't finish it. You know? There's never a crossword
I've lost. Okay.
There's crosswords that I put on pause.
I was going to say... Are you seriously trying to tell me, knowing you the way I do, that you aren't bothered by the fact that you never finished them?
It bothers me maybe about a day or two, and then I forget about it.
Okay. But it is that gamer thing, though, isn't it? Of I have not finished this.
Yeah, I have one in my satchel right now, and then I still need to finish from like 5 days ago.
Satchel? Is that like a man purse?
Yes, it is, actually.
It's
very convenient too. I suggest you get one.
It's basically yes, me living in a hick hillbillyville with a man purse. You're trying to get me killed at this point, aren't you? You just finally had enough.
I have like a nice like brown like leather one.
It's basically a messenger bag, isn't it?
Yeah, a messenger bag. I can fit my laptop in it.
That's not a man purse, dude. Go look up man purse sometime. They're a thing that exists. John and I are probably still backpack guys. We're that old. Well, I am. I still use a backpack. I don't
backpacks,
know.
Backpacks and fanny packs?
No fanny pack. I do actually. I'm loath to admit this, but I do still own two fanny packs. One specifically made for fishing, from the 90s. Why I haven't thrown them out, I don't know. But I haven't used either of them. And they're not the, like, leather kind. They're, you know, old canvas JanSport. But still, that doesn't make it any less dorky that I got them. I never did really like fanny packs. I just always like backpacks. It's like, fuck it. I can carry more stuff in here. I probably did have some kind of goofy backpack. Or, I mean, fanny pack when I was a kid. I don't doubt it. There's probably photo evidence somewhere that my family could blackmail me about. Yeah, but, well, I think the quintessential man purse appeared in Hangover 1 with the bearded dude. That is, I think, the difference. What that dude has on versus a messenger bag, which is, like, I guess technically more low slung.
Satchel is just a briefcase with a strap. A strap over it.
Yeah. You gotta have that. Is it big enough to, like, hold art and stuff? Like, art. Small. Well,
you know what I mean? What a vague thing.
That was a really.
Can you hold some art in there?
Like a sketchbook jacket. Like, okay, yes.
I have 7 arts in this bag.
I'm gonna art you in a minute. Like a sketchbook.
Yes, yeah. I can fit my laptop.
He roasted me on that one. I deserved it.
And a little small notebook I have and some papers. And my mouse.
You use the pack mule for the easel and the coffee. You don't drink coffee, though.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm not a hipster. See, I don't drink coffee.
I don't know, dude. You might want to calm down there a little bit. You're walking a fine line. You are not a hipster. You don't wear skinny jeans. There's your biggest problem. You want to become a full-fledged hipster, you got to still wear skinny jeans. Not happening, is it?
And that's not very old man-ish of me to do.
Oh, you want to wear something with elastic expando pants?
It's comfortable.
I'm wearing jeans right now.
I'm wearing gym shorts, so which does have elastic on it.
It's
so.
Not. I gotta admit, I have gone old man in that direction. I used to wear nothing but board shorts from companies that, you know, like Oakley and OP and all that shit, Quicksilver. No, these days it's pretty much Under Armour basketball shorts because they have elastic and they're comfortable. I have given up on that. I don't wear them in public, though. There are some things I like to be comfortable in. I was always like that, though. Fashion, fuck that. I want to be comfortable. Let's get the fuck out of here before we start talking about anything. Something I thought the weirdest thing we were going to talk about was the porno blackmail. I should know better at this point. We just talked about crosswords, bocce ball, back. Pinochle was a good one. I couldn't. Backgammon didn't top you, John. You win with Pinochle. I couldn't think of anything else that sounded older.
Jacks. Hoop and a stick.
Stick ball.
There's got to be. Yard darts is kind of a southern thing. I think they're illegal in a lot of states these days. There's another card game, though, that our grandparents played, John. Not Pinochle. Not backgammon. What the fuck was it?
Hearts?
Yeah, there's that, but there's another one.
Bridge?
Cribbage.
With the pegs?
With the pegs, yeah. Cribbage. That's the one I was thinking of. If somebody had come up with cribbage when John said pinochle, we'd have topped him in the old person department, but nobody did. We had to,
Roger was probably thinking crib. He plays it.
Maybe he could teach Glycinator.
I'm
going to give Roger a pass, first off, because I don't want to check my Twitter tomorrow and catch a bunch of shit. And second, so I'm pussing out on that one. And second, Roger's kind of a card game dude, so I give him a pass. Yeah. Because once you start, it's like crack.
Crib is played everywhere in Newfoundland anyway. It's not like it's that uncommon.
No, and it's not really an old person game. Pinochle still was probably, John is still the winner. I don't, honestly, I don't understand cribbage. I've seen people play it, and it makes no fucking sense to me. Why do we need a board? Can't we just play Texas Hold'em poker so I can take all your money? Maybe that's why people try to get me away from playing poker. So, all right, you guys, we've had enough, right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Yep.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, or tell us about games that are even older, we have a bunch of ways you can do that. I've just thought of a new podcast. You know how they have that old people react on YouTube? I want to get like three old people from the old folks home and have them go over tech news and shit. They probably get more views than we did. Anyways, there's a bunch of ways you can get in touch with us. We have a Facebook and a Twitter account. It's at WonderPod Online for the Twitter account and WonderPod Online for the Facebook. Shoot us friend requests. Unless you're an obvious bot or spammer, we will accept it. We have a website. It's WonderPodOnline.com, WonderPodOnline.com. Mostly the podcast being posted there these days, but when I do post the podcast, I post an embedded player. Yes, it's old news, is old technology, but if you want to listen to it on a web browser, you can. If you don't want to do that, we're on iTunes and archive.org. Just search WonderPod. Both of those are both of those have WonderPod, but archive.org has our entire catalog, including spoiler casts and stuff we did, like John and I's Bioshock Infinite spoiler cast. I think has the most downloads ever. Why? I don't know. It's a spoiler cast. Shit, lost my place. Oh, YouTube channels. The WonderPod Online YouTube channel. The Patman YouTube channel. Maybe he'll throw a few, I don't know if he can throw a few clips up. The division is a beta. The Olivia Made This YouTube channel. The What Chris Does YouTube channel. Glacinator's got a YouTube channel. I don't know if he even knows the password anymore. I've got a YouTube channel, which I've got three videos pretty much done editing. I just need to be away from my computer for more than for a couple hours so I can actually render them without having to sit here and watch it render, because I don't listen to Glacinator, and eventually it's going to bite me. And if none of that works for you, I hate this outro. We've got an email address. It's WonderPod at WonderPodOnline.com. WonderPod at WonderPodOnline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter. I'll be checking in with you tomorrow, Roger, at ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter.
At John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
I miss Pat, but if I'm truly, truly, truly honest, it's because he used to do that shit. Until episode 287. I'm out of here, people. See ya.
Cheers.
Goodbye.
Glacinator, we'll see you on the bocce ball court. Oh, shit.